Take your Bible and turn to the book of James. If you get to the book of Hebrews, go one more book to the right toward the end of your Bible, the book of James, the epistle of James. The first revival service on Sunday morning had ended. During the week of revival, the first service had ended, and so there after the service, the pastor of the church and the guest preacher, the guest evangelist, were there at the door, and the people came through greeting and saying their kind words about the service and about the message, until finally little old Charlie came through the line, one of the church members, referred to as little old Charlie. And he came up to the guest preacher and extended his hand, but as their hand met, Charlie looked at him and asked, "Did you go to school to learn how to preach?" And he was kind of startled, but he said, "Well, yes, I sure did. I went to seminary and took all the homiletic classes." To that, little Charlie said, "Well, that was one of the worst sermons I've ever heard in my life." Well, the pastor heard that, and he said, "Don't pay him any mind. That's just little old Charlie." Well, the other people kept filing through, but then the guest preacher noticed behind the next couple of people, little old Charlie was in line again. So when he got to the guest preacher, he took his hand again and said, "You sure you went to school to learn how to preach?" And he said, Well, yes, sir, I sure did. I told you that earlier, I sure did. And Charlie said to that, "Well, that was still the worst sermon I think I've ever heard." To that, the pastor said, "Listen, I told you, don't pay any little Charlie any mind what he says. He only repeats what he hears other people say." Amen. So it sounded like more than one person. So I hope today it won't be the worst. I hope today won't be the worst sermon you've ever heard preached. I did go to seminary, and hopefully it paid off a little bit. Well, take your Bible to the book of James, and I just feel led to do a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of this simple, but I believe significant book, the book of James. It's there in our Bible for a reason. It's been referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. The Proverbs of the New Testament. Written to encourage the practice of our Christian faith in a very practical way. An everyday kind of way. Where the rubber hits the pavement kind of way. So notice today we won't get beyond verse number 1 here in chapter 1. The first thing let us notice, and there in your bulletin, my little chicken scratch outline for you to maybe take some notes with. Notice verse number 1, James. Right off the bat, immediately, the author identifies himself. And we'll look at more of that identification in a moment. But just pause for a moment. The writer is James. Clearly stated right there in verse number 1. So the question would be, who was this James? How do we identify him? What can we say further about him? It's believed that he was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, raised in the same family. So to that notice, let's look at kind of his history. Let's look at his background. Let's identify this James. So I'm going to give you a few extra scriptures. I believe you'll be able to find them all right here in the New Testament. First of all, go to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Who was this James? What does the Bible tell us about him? Matthew chapter 13, and come down toward the end of verse 55. Matthew 13, and find verse 55, and notice, is this not the carpenter's son? Referring to Jesus and his stepfather, because we know his father, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren. And notice, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And then in verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Pretty good sized family, wasn't it? In other words, Mary and Joseph, after Jesus was born, had several other children. Now flip over to the book of Mark. Right after Matthew, Mark, early on, chapter 3, in Mark's gospel, verse 21. Oh, I'm in chapter 2 now. If you get over to chapter 3, I'll be all right. Mark 3, 21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself, or he is crazy. It appears James had his big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus returned to Nazareth, demonstrating his unusual powers and wisdom, beginning his ministry, the obvious opinion of his family, including James, was that he was out of his mind. They just didn't see him for who he was. And so they thought he was kind of crazy, beside himself. But something would happen in the life of James that would change his opinion about Jesus, his stepbrother. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible, is the chapter about the resurrection of Jesus. It's the chapter that talks about the rapture of the church. In 1 Corinthians 15, let me show you what I believe was a turning point in the life of James. 1 Corinthians 15, find verse number 7. Something would happen that would change James's opinion, his idea about Jesus. And here it is, I believe, in verse number 7. There it lists in preceding verses Jesus' appearances after his resurrection to as few as one, to as many as 500 at one time. But notice verse 7. After that he was seen, Jesus was seen of James, then of all the apostles. James saw the resurrected Jesus. Jesus, who 3 days after his crucifixion and death was raised from the dead. And he made an appearance to James. I believe this was the turning point. James knew then who Jesus was. the risen Christ. It would change his life indelibly and forever. James would go on to be and become one of the most significant leaders in that early first century church. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, let me show you where we find him. After his experience of seeing the resurrected Lord, in Acts chapter 1, we find James in the company of the 120 in that upper room, waiting 10 days for the coming promise of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, notice verse 13. Verse 13, here in Acts 1. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued, verse 14, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, Jesus' mother, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. James was there. James was one of the 120 awaiting the promise of the Holy Ghost. And then one other reference passage that shows you his status with the early church and how even the Apostle Paul recognized him. The book of Galatians, right after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul makes reference to none other than James. Galatians 1 and find verse 15. The Apostle Paul says his words, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I confirmed not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Now notice verse 18. "Then after 3 years, Paul spent 3 years in what I call Sands Seminary. Just him and Jesus. Jesus taught Paul for 3 years. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Look at verse 19, "but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." So James is recognized as a prominent leader in the early church, having been convinced of who Jesus was by that appearance Jesus made to him after his resurrection. Part of those 120 believers that experienced that miraculous day of Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2, waiting in that upper room those 10 days with those other 119 believers. Paul acknowledges him there in Jerusalem when Paul went back there. James is there doing what? Being part of the early church. So we see who the writer is. We see something of his history. But now look back at our text, James chapter 1 and verse 1. And notice thirdly his self-perception. Look at verse 1. James. And it doesn't say following that a brother or half-brother of Jesus. But it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He referred to himself as a servant. The word translates maybe more literally, more clearly, a bond servant, a bond slave. A bond slave, a bond servant, was one who did not serve his master out of duty, but more so out of dedication. A bond servant, a bond slave, was one who served his master because he loved his master. So James's self-perspective, I'm a servant of God. I'm a bond servant. I'm a bond slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he didn't refer to himself as Jesus' brother, which he was. But I'm a servant. I'm a bond slave, a bond servant. He recognized that his real relationship to Jesus was not so much physical as it was spiritual. He had the right self-perspective. What about you today? If you're saved, you and I are servants of God and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bond slaves, bond servants. We serve him not out of duty, but out of what? Dedication. What I do is not what necessarily I want to do, but what the Lord has called me to do. I do it not so much out of duty, but out of dedication, loving the Lord with the right self-perspective. So notice, to whom did James write and why? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, look what follows, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, I bring you greeting. He writes to these 12 tribes, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, Jewish, dispersed abroad. And he calls them, notice the peeking into verse number 2, he calls them, he refers to them, look at verse 2, my brethren. He also refers to them as my brethren in chapter 2, verse 1, and in chapter 3, verse 1. His brothers in Christ. Now, I was raised in Thomasville and down on good old West Green Street. I won't say it's good old anymore. It's kind of a rough neighborhood now. But I was raised the son of Andrew and Pearl Royals, and I had not one brother, not one sister. My wife often tells people, when I marry again, I'll not marry an only child. Amen. Can get a witness right there. That'll bless your heart right there when your wife says that. Tells people, when I marry again, I often kid her, she'll be on my way to my funeral and she'll stop at 3 yard sales on the way. She says, I'll not marry an only child. I believe she implies that I'm somewhat spoiled. I don't know. But I never had a brother, never had a sister. But I have many today brothers in Christ and sisters in the Lord. If you're saved today, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. Why? Because we're in the family of God. And notice there in verse 1, scattered abroad means they were dispersed. They were sent away from. where they had originally been. They were scattered abroad now, these 12 tribes, these Jewish believers. The Roman Emperor Claudius was responsible for dispersing the Jews and persecuting them. And so these scattered Jewish believers found themselves in misery and suffering. So James writes them this letter. He wants to encourage them to keep on keeping on. He gives them many practical situations in their lives and how to handle them. The book or epistle as a whole has this main theme, and we'll get to it as we go along chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But here's what probably the main theme of James is. Real faith, real saving faith. Are you listening? You know, the beauty of the Bible, I mean, the great value of this book right here, is that as antiquated, as old as it is, do you realize these 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, it took about 1,500 years in total time to bring it about. Yet today in this 2022, we can take this book of James and read what he has to say. His letter to these scattered, dispersed believers who were going through miserable times of persecution, needing times of encouragement, needing times to know that somebody cared about them. Is this ringing your bell? Do you realize today here at Park Place, it's good to know we have something written in this great, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, that right now where we sit today, when we go through this book, we can get encouraged. You can find out how to face the situations, the trials and testings and troubles and problems of life that all of us have and are going to have in this year 2022, individually, in our family, in our church family. This Bible will give you encouragement. And you know that somebody cared enough about you to write this book. This book that's more alive and up to date than tomorrow and next week's newspaper. James gives us such valuable information. Real faith, genuine faith, saving faith produces genuine works. That's the main theme of the book of James. Faith is the root. Works are the fruit. Let me repeat that. Faith is the root. Works are the fruit. No, James doesn't contradict what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We're saved by grace through faith and not of works. James doesn't say we're saved by works. James does say we are saved to do good works. There's a difference. There are people out there today beating the pavement. Maybe they've come to your house before and knocked at the door. Two or three. Wanting you to buy their magazine. Spreading a false doctrine religion. They think their works are going to save them. I want to tell you this morning, our works do not save us, but we're saved to do good works. It's not what we do, but it's what Jesus has done. And so James desired to put genuine faith back into the practical Christian life. So the theme of James is practical Christian living. He deals with various matters and subjects and situations that these scattered Jewish believers were experiencing. And to race forward to us today where you're sitting on that pew, you're going to discover that what James wrote about deals with your life and mine today. Now, if that doesn't make this study valuable, tell me what does. Because every one of us, and this may be an ideal time, are you listening, to study the book of James. Because maybe, just maybe, we all need to get back to the root, which is our faith, but also back to the fruit, which are our works. Where the rubber hits the pavement may just be where our church is today. We need to realize our Christian faith is a practical thing. We practice it each and every day. It's what makes us what we are. It's what makes us the church. And like I've been trying to tell you and convince you to believe, it's not so much this building, which is a beautiful building. Man, those stained glass, those big ones over on that side just jump out at you. But listen, when you leave today, the church leaves. When you come in this building and assemble, the church comes in and assembles. You're the church. We're the church. And our faith needs to be put into practice. The Lord didn't save us to sit. The Lord saved us to serve. James says, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so are you. So am I. Like it or not, we're servants because we have a master. And James saw Jesus not so much as his half-brother. James saw Jesus as his master. When he saw the risen Lord, he realized who Jesus really was. And it changed him. And he became a leader in that early church. Are you going to be a leader? Are you going to put your faith to practice? Are you going to let your faith, your saving faith, produce good works? That's what James is going to tell us. How to do it. Even in the midst of trials and troubles. How we're to treat one another. When somebody comes into this building, James talked about that. When somebody came into that early church and they weren't dressed quite as well as most of the church members, James says, why do you set him in the back? You ought to set him in the front. When we maybe in the near future have those who come in that may not look quite like us, are we going to set them in the back in the corner or set them in the front? A year of destiny for Park Place Baptist Church. That's why I believe the Lord has led me to take us into the book of James and through the book of James to just see how practical our everyday faith should be. So if you're sitting there today, you're saved. We're to be serving our Savior. He gave His life for us. Should we not give our lives to Him? Can I get an amen? If not an amen, a holy grunt, I'll take that. Some of you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. You need to put a smile on your face. Look happy. Today's the best day of the rest of your life. Do you realize that? Why, in a few days, on January 21, I'll hit the big 7-3. But today's the best day of the rest of my life. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Put your faith into practice. Put some feet to your prayers. Boy, I got my prayer life enhanced yesterday. I rode with Bill Nix to Statesville and back. Amen. That'll improve your prayer life. Can't get amen right there. Now, it was okay till he made a wrong turn and came back down a one-way way, and we met a car coming. He said, there's plenty of room for that car to get over. And he just kept... plowing through that little roadway. But we finally got to our destination and topped it off with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. Can't get a witness right there. So if you want to increase your prayer life, ride with Bill. Well, we're going to end our service. I think we've got some little special people going to come sing for us. Is that right, Chris? You want to come and introduce them there? So stay in your Bibles, and we're going to be looking at the book of James here on Sunday mornings.